Morning, everybody. Obviously, very excited about this morning. I don't get to preach every week. I get to preach twice, maybe twice a year. So, probably my last preach for the year. No, I'm just joking. It's just great. It's actually the privilege that, I mean, this morning in the prayer meeting, even when we pray, asking for the Holy Spirit to lead and to guide, is the privilege we've got to be known by Him, to be used by Him. And I really pray that He will use me. I've got I'm bringing quite a heavy message, so hang on to your seats. It's going to be, it's one other thing that we need to hear. Something you've been speaking to me for a while. Before I get there, I'm Brian Britz, married to Yolanda. I've got two kids, Ruben and Bianca. And my whole family's in this church, actually. I've got my brother, my mom, my dad, and my sister. But Quinn, he said, I don't know what I'm about to say to the news. But anyway. So yeah, and loving all of you guys. So it's great for me to be here. So let me just get into it. And then first of all, Elena, from here, I want to apologize. Late last night, I sent her through a list of scriptures. And then I realized, but maybe I'm not going to go through all of it. It's going to take too long. But the topic I'm going to talk about is so much about it in scripture that it's difficult, pretty combat for you. So Elena, I'm just going to ask politely, but thanks for your patience. And not coming back with a snotty remark, which you could have done, and I would have. Very well then. So let's just start. Before that, maybe I just want to pray. God, we thank you for this morning, and thank you for the privilege we've got in knowing you and being loved by you and being called into church, which this is the body you've chosen to make your manifold wisdom known. We pray this morning that you will really you will anoint the words, that everything I say, or that the important things that you want them to hear, that they will hear that everything else not, that will fade away. But I pray that you will speak. We speak to the hearts of people. But now you want them to hear this message. Thank you, Lord, for using me, and I'm humbled by it. And I just pray that you will be throughout, and we can hear that your name will be glorified in all of this. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, just a bit of a disclaimer. I don't know if anybody listened to that, watched Chasing the Sun recently. Episode 5, that's what that rugby, like a bit of rugby, Chasing the Sun, the fifth episode, there's portions in there that gets quite emotional, and I'm one of those guys, I'm not afraid of crying, I do my wife, and laughs at me, but I'm quite emotional when it comes to that. So I was quite emotional in that little thing, so I might get emotional today. So just bear with me. Okay, so what I want to talk about this morning, and something that God has been speaking to me, and that's why I'm excited to bring it this morning, is and that's been His plan with us, for us, throughout history, even from the beginning of time. That's what He's called us to do. How much we know we're here to bring Him glory and to glorify His name with our lives. But for us to get there, we need to know Him. We need to know the one we want to glorify. And today we're going to talk a bit about that. And it goes back as far as the Garden of Eden, where Jesus, where the Father said, and I think it's in maybe the first one, Genesis 1:26. Where God said, but let us make people in our image to be like us. So I don't worry about the rest, but I'm just going to stop there. God is playing with us. Let's make people in our image to be like us. Not necessarily to look like us, but His plan was with us is to be like Him. Furthermore, say in Ephesians 5, He says His plan for us to be like Him is imitate God, therefore. Ephesians 5, maybe it's the wrong one. I'm giving you so much scripture, so goodness. So the one you need to go is imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are His children. So the missional plan with God, isn't that? It is that. It is that. So we get there. I do NLT, this NLT, and yes, 100% right of this. So His plan with us is to make Him the image so we can be like Him, become like Him. The second thing is, imitate Him in everything we do so we can be like Him. So that's His plan. His plan is for us to become like Him, to obey His commandments, to submit our lives to His rule and reign, And you see throughout eternity, it's almost like God has called us to be like that. And if you go through the Old Testament, so there's a couple of places there where he actually said we need to follow him. And that's the big thing I want to get out of this. The sermon is called Follow Me. When Jesus said, follow me and be my disciple, that's what he's called us to be. So that's the big thing that God's spoken to me to speak to God. That is what his plan is with us. It's not that one sort of decision. It's actually a process of follow me and be my disciple. So there's various places in the New Testament, and obviously when we say that, and you find there's a bit of a sequence of events. Go to any book in the Old Testament. Okay, not any book. Go to some other books there. You'll find what happens is God reveals his power, his glory. People are drawn to him. They follow him up to a point, and then they seem to go to their own thing. They follow themselves. They get idols. They make idols. They follow their own path. And then God gets fed up with it in a sense. He leaves them to do their own thing for a while. They do it for a while. And then what happens is they realize, oh, we can't do this without you. So they cry out to God. They call for him to come and intervene. And then he shows his mercy. That's who he is. He shows his mercy to them. And he calls them back. And sorts out their enemies. And they come back. And they're all fantastic. And we're serving God for a while. And then after a while, what happens again? They drift, turn their back. They do their own thing. And that's been happening throughout the course of the Old Testament and for a big portion of our life. You can see that sequence. It happens. Even in our lives now, we can often see where we're on fire and then something happens and we turn up our eyes. But yes, we've gone anywhere. We turn to do this and we follow. And that's what he says. He actually wants us to continue to stay in step with him. So, yes, I mean, I gave you a lot of scriptures, but I'm not going to go through all of those scriptures because that's going to take too long. And I really want to get to the crux of the matter, and that's actually the following part. So you'll see, maybe let's go to 1 Kings 18:20-21. Read from there. So Ahab summoned all the people and the prophets to Mount Carmel. And then Elijah stood in front of them and said, how long are you going to waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if God is God, then follow him. But the people were completely silent. And you'll see that happen, that sequence of events. Maybe also Joshua 22:5, where Joshua now speaks to all the tribes. And he wants to get them to know, guys, where are we going to? And that's what he's telling them. And he says, but be very careful to obey all the commandments and the law that Moses gave to you. Love the Lord your God. Walk in all his ways. What he says there, follow him. Obey his commandments. Be faithful to him. And serve him with all your heart and all your soul. So that's been a message pretty much throughout history. It's been saying, don't get ahead of yourself. Turn to him. Obey him. Follow him. Walk with him. So there's a couple of times throughout history, up to a point where I think Jesus said, show these guys. These guys, they're not catching it. I need to go. I need to die for their sins because of everything they've done. But I also want to show them what you have and what God has said to all of us. Follow me. Be obedient to my way. And that's his plan with all of us. Even when the guys were going through from Egypt into Gone, they had the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day. And that is a sense, follow him. Be obedient to him, and that's what God's calling you to do. So at the end, Jesus said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go. I'm going to, God said this morning beautifully, humble myself as a servant. I'm going to go for it. And then I'm going to find a couple of disciples, and I'm going to show them what it means to follow me. Because that's his heart for us. It's not that once-off decision, lift up a hand and nothing more. No, no, no. He wants us to follow him. That is the heart of God. Us to follow and to be his disciple. So as he started his ministry, I think he just came out of the 40 days, 40 nights, and he saw the first crowd. I think it was with Simon Peter and his brother Andrew. Saw them fishing. They were fishing all night. He said to them, and he said, listen, I want you to go again. Go throw your nets out there. And it happened. And then after that, I think Simon Peter was so he said he was, what's the wrong word here? Well, he was amazed. He was just absolutely about what Jesus has done, with it. He just got out of the boat, and they followed. Jesus said, "Follow me, I'll make fishers of men." They came back. You can read it. Let's quickly read it in Matthew 4:18-22. So one day Jesus was walking along the shore of beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, fishing with a net, for they were commercial fishermen. Jesus called out to them and said, "Come, be my disciples, and I will show you I'll show you how to fish for people." Next one is, "And they left their nets and at once went with him." So there's not like a communication, "I will get back to you with this." Jesus said, "Follow me." What did they do? They left everything. So they, with that amount of fish they caught, was a lot of money that they could listen, let's sell this fish first, and then after that you can go. This is what they did. They actually said, "That's it. This Messiah," what they then thought was, a revelation came into their hearts, knowing that this is the Messiah. We prayed for all those years. Now we saw him in action. And when he said, "Follow me," what did they do? Left everything and they followed him. Second thing is when he was in Lucas 5:27-28, when Jesus spat, when he spotted Matthew, he said later, but Jesus left the town, he saw a tax collector named Levi sitting in the tax collection booth. "Come, be my disciple," Jesus said to him. So Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. That day, being a tax collector was very lucrative, there's a good position, a lot of money. Jesus said, "Follow me." What did he do? He left everything, got up, and he followed him. And that's what you'll find. You'll find that. Follow me, be my disciple. Even in the one up, he says, "Follow me and be my disciple." Levi got up and he followed him. And this is what God is asking for all of us to do. So nothing has changed. So he did it before Jesus. But Jesus was there from the beginning, you know what I'm saying? Did it in the Old Testament, did it in the New Testament. And that's what he's calling us to do. So for me, important this morning is to quickly show you what is the characteristics, better with that word, of a disciple. And what is the role of a disciple? So that portion is going to be quite brief, and I was longer, but I don't want to go into much detail about a disciple. A disciple, what a disciple is. And the best way to describe it is, you get a fan and you get a disciple. If you take a footballer, which I'm not crazy about, but he's brilliant, Cristiano Ronaldo, he's a good footballer. He's arguably one of the best, although I think I rate Messi, but he's one of the best footballers out there. You could be a fan of Cristiano Ronaldo. What that is you watch his games, you know a bit about his stats, and that's about it. So then that's being a fan. Being a disciple, being a follower, is when you go into a bit more detail. You watch all these games. In fact, that's not enough. You actually sell some of your stuff so you can tour around with this guy to see him perform around the world. You go and watch him practice even. You start looking, pay attention to what he wears, his hairstyle. You try and model around that. Because your ultimate goal is not just to know Cristiano Ronaldo, you actually want to become like Cristiano Ronaldo. And that is the big thing about being a disciple. Is your ultimate plan is follow with the hope of becoming like. Cristiano Ronaldo, read it up on that. Now, he's got 241 million followers on Instagram. The guy seems to be very special, but he can't walk on water. He can play a game of soccer, but that's it. But that's the big difference. Even in the Bible terms, when a disciple would follow a rabbi or a prophet, they would make sure that they understand all his study. They would study everything about it. What this guy's thinking is around something, they would want to know that inside out. But it's more than that. It's actually, they want to imitate the particular details of their life. So, again, not just knowing a lot of what he says, that want to become like him. That is what they offer. They want to become like that specific. And for us and I'm fast forwarding a bit here, and for us as Christians, we Christians and the disciple believe in Jesus. So But that's not the main thing. We study what he says in his word. We also, but what we're trying to do is we want to imitate his lifestyle with the goal that as I imitate his lifestyle, that other people will see how I'm living and they want to imitate that. So they are drawn by Jesus because of what I'm doing. And because of the lifestyle of Ivan, now I want to see why is he like this. So as a mature disciple, I will now want to become like Ivan because why? And then he will then say because of Jesus, because he is modeling his life around Jesus. And that's what Paul says. He says, imitate me like I'm imitating Christ. Because we need to imitate God, and I read in the beginning, in everything that we do, we need to imitate God. And that seems like a far-fetched idea, but that's God's plan with us, with all of us. So when he stands here and speaks to you guys, that is his plan with you. His plan with you is to imitate him in everything that he does. To be a follower, to be a disciple. Okay? Does it make sense? If I'm going too fast, God, you must slow me down. Richard always says I'm too quick, so I'll try to slow down. But I do get excited about this. Let's make sure I don't go too fast here. So if just in summary, if you look at what a disciple is, somebody that your ultimate goal, you want to become like Jesus. Our ultimate goal is not just to know Jesus in Scripture, but we want to imitate his life so that we could become mature and one day become like him. That is God's ultimate plan with our lives and with your life. So that's about discipleship. Some of the characteristics of discipleship, that you know that you're on the right track, is not like a tick list, but there's a couple of things that Jesus says that he sees in disciples. And the first thing is abiding in God's word. In John 8, 31, 32, Jesus said to the people who believe in him, so that's what his disciples, you are truly my disciples if you keep obeying my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So one of the things that's important is that we abide in the Word. We need to be in the Word. We need to remain in the Word. It's not a once-off decision. We need to evolve in spending time in His Word, on His teaching, and that is to be abiding in it. That when I speak to people, it's Word, it's truth. Like it says, you'll know the truth will set you free. That's why we need to know the Word. Second thing is John 15, and it's 4:8. Remain in me and I'll remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful apart from me. Yes, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who parts from me is thrown away like a useless branch. It's a scary part that we not remain in the vine becomes a useless branch. We are thrown out like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you stay joined to me, and my words remain in you, you may ask, request you like, and it will be granted. I think last year now. My true disciples produce much fruit. This brings great glory to my Father. May Virgo says, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, right? And so prove that you're my disciples. So that is one of the things. As disciples, we are called to bear much fruit. And it's not my ability, what I can do. It's only when I remain in him, and he remains in me. Then, that's the only one. So you have to remain in him. His words in you. And then you can ask what you want, and you'll receive it. Why? Because I ask in line with the word. I ask in line with these are. I don't go away off and ask for Ferrari if that's not really what his heart is. That's why we need to remain in him and us. And as disciples, we'll see that we are his disciples if we bear much fruit. That's characteristic of a disciple. The last one that I know that Ivan would like quite a bit, is love one another. John 13. So, and it's so important. Love is our big motivator. Yeah, he says in 34. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love others. The standard there, love each other just as I have loved you. How crazy is that? just as he has loved us. I think all of us have got great testimony this morning of how he's loved us. And with that measure of love, we need to love others. Your love for one another will prove the world that you are my disciples. That's nothing. So people will see. People will see the love. We can't contain it. That's who we are. We are love. We love because we are loved. And that's the third. So in summary of discipleship, we want to become like him. We want to abide in his word. We want to bear much fruit because we remain in him. And the third thing is we're going to love one another. Same way he's loved us, so we don't give up on one another. That's one of those things. When we like that, the world will see, hey, something different about those people. Why are they like that? Because we follow Christ. Now I want to get to the exciting part. It's actually the following part is what he's called. He's called us to follow him. So I believe, so when we are called Christ followers, I believe that's a much better way of putting it. Us as believers, people will say that you're Christian. But I believe it's much better to say we are Christ followers, because if you think about Christian, it's labeled as a believer, but it's very generic today, and it's easy to be claimed to be a Christian. I'm a Christian because I'm not a Muslim, and it's not that superficial, but when you say I'm a Christ follower, that changes the story straight away, because we follow Christ wherever he leads us. So we just didn't make a decision one day and that's it. We don't follow him going forward. No, we as Christ followers now choose to follow him. His lead, what's important to him, becomes important to us. So that for me is important. You think about it, Jesus never came, and it's a bit of a flaw in some of our thing on that flaw for us, but we people on the gospel. They just added this slight thing into the gospel where it says, you need to come forward, you need to raise up your hand, you accept Jesus into your heart, and that's going to make you all good, and that's not biblical. Nowhere in Scripture, you welcome to come to me after the service, where Jesus actually said, you need to accept me, you need to let me into your heart. Now, what did he say? He said, it's so very strange. He says, follow me. That's what he asked. He didn't say, accept me. And for me, even to think about it, it's almost arrogant. How can we... But he must accept us, although he does. He's the creator of heaven and earth, the all-powerful one. But we want him to, it's beyond me, but he actually calls us to follow him. So, and that's what he's asked us to do. In Matthew 4:19, he says, let me, So, for me, a person is saved when God actually grants your repentance. When you repent, you think about it, you can repent. You know, like Sean said, he is faithful to forgive us. But it's God that decides. It's not actually up for me. It's you repent, he accepts your repentance, you go and you trust in God. When that happens, you're saved. That's actually being saved is when he grants it and when we get ahead and follow him. And we show our love to him by following him. Like I said, we spoke about it previously, on Follow Me, there's not an example of where he said, accept me in your heart, or do the sinner's prayer. That's all nice, good things to do, but that's not a guarantee. For me, he said to his disciples in various places, follow me. He wants us to follow him. So again, just quickly, we don't have to go there. We don't have to go there. It's the first portion where Jesus spoke to Simon Peter, Simon Peter and Andrew. He said, follow me and make you fishers of men. They did that. They left everything. They didn't think of the consequence. They left everything and they followed Jesus. Same with Matthew. He left a lucrative job, but he left it. And there Jesus clearly said he wants to follow him. The second thing that he says is you need to count the cost. That's where the stakes gets a bit higher. Those who follow Christ were told to count the cost before they followed him. In Luke 14:28, we can do that one. Don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction on a building without first getting estimates and then checking this to see if there's enough money to pay the bills? Another one is also in Luke 18:28, we actually... Jesus spoke to the rich man and who wanted to be a disciple, and he says, do you obey all the rules? And he says, yes. And he says, this one, you don't go and sell all your goods, all your stuff, because he was a rich man, and then come and follow me. And I think like, you know, that was quite unfair. Guys reached me and I expected, but Jesus knew that's the one thing he wasn't willing to give up. Everything else I can obey, but this one thing, Jesus, don't touch that one thing. And Jesus says, I want everything. And that's where he talks about counting the cost. It's everything. And yet Peter said, we've left our hopes to follow you. Jesus said, get off to the star. Terug by Luke 18:28. So he says, and I assure you that everyone who has given up houses and wives and brothers and parents and children for the sake of the kingdom will be repaid many times over in this life and the eternal life to come. So that's what Jesus has asked them, is actually, are you willing? And the question today, and it is a scary question, are you willing to give up everything? Are you willing to count the cost to save the one who gave it up, gave up everything to come to earth, to die for your sin, to bring you to justification when you got it from him? Are you willing to do that? So it's important to count the cost and come to the conclusion that nothing means more to us than the kingdom. Nothing will stand in our way to follow him. It's not easy. It's painful. It's sacrificial. But the inheritance to come is beyond comprehension. So Christ asks to count the cost. Second thing he does is really put Christ first. And that is, that's the thing. In Luke 14:26, have you got that one, Irena? He says, Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, you must by comparison hate everyone else. Your father, your mother, your wife, children, brother, sister, yes, even your life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. Is this really in Scripture? Have you guys read this? This is really in Scripture. This is one of those ones where you think, this is the right book. It's what Jesus says. He says it. So I like in the NLT in Luke 14:26, he says, maybe we should read it again. If you want to be my disciple, remember that's what we spoke about, that's what he wants. If you want to be my disciple, you must. And I like the next, it's actually quite a bit of a by comparison. It's about the by comparison part. The by comparison, hate everyone else, your father, your mother, your wife, children, brothers, sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. So there's that comparison part. And what he says there is, you can't love anything more than me. So, yes, we need to love. We need to love our families. We need to love one another. Because we spoke about it. Remember, he says, if you love one another, you know you're my disciple. We need to love one another. But by comparison. So nothing could be more important. You can't love. If you take the comparisons, it is as if you hate that person. That's how our love should be towards Christ. Putting Christ first in everything you do. Because if you don't do that, he says you cannot be my disciple. So that's maybe a section where you go and check our hearts. Just go and check your heart and ask him to show. Yeah, I don't necessarily want him to test me. I always say to him, God, don't test me in this, please. But I love my wife. I love my children. But do I love you more? Do I put you first? And that's one of the main things that he says is, Christ must come first. Kingdom must come first. So when you get into situations where that might not be there, be careful, because he says, when you do that, when you choose that above him, think of being making an idol, but if you choose anything above him, you love him more than Christ, and then you disqualify. So I think he gives us the grace, he gives us his love in us, his Holy Spirit through us, help us to be able to get there. But that's just something that's important that we need to remember. So that's the main thing, is we love Jesus more than anything. That's important. So the kingdom comes first. We cannot love anything or anybody more than him. So we need to count the cost, follow Christ. This means to die to self, own interest, and live for Christ. Make sure I don't go too fast over this one. That's it. So for me, the following part. And then there's a final warning that comes. It's quite a sobering warning. Where he says in Matthew 7:21. It's like more to today. This is one of the scariest verses in the book for me. Really, there's one that I've read once or twice, and I thought, wow, this is sobering. This is not words by Paul or by Peter or by James. This is written in red. We've got one of those fancy Bibles. This is written in red where Jesus actually saved this. So not all people who sound... Not all people who sound religious are really godly. They might have... No, it doesn't sound good. I don't mean that. Can I read my version if it's possible? Because I'm just going to improve my point more. It says, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. Really? 22 says, on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we have prophesied in your name, we cast demons out in your name, and do many mighty works in your name. And then he will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. So when you're not going to cast out a demon in the name of Jesus, it's not going to happen, it will sort you out, but that's what these guys have done. So if you catch that, he actually at the end he says, go away, I didn't know. He didn't say, I wanted to know you better, or yes, I wish I knew you more. He just says, actually, I don't know you people. Because you find there might be those who came to him thinking that they are saved, but they love their lives more than they should. They didn't count the cost, but they followed their own desires, and so they were not worthy of him. Again, it's not condemnation, it's just the price that God asks of us. It's just more than just lifting up your hand and saying, I believe. I'm going to say another controversial thing, and it's actually in the Bible, in James 2:19, it's last in a thing. Let's read it. Do you still think that it's enough just to believe that there is one God? Well, even the demons believe this, and they tremble. So, yes, you say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you, even the demons believe this. So for you to believe that there's Jesus, is the Son of God, even the demons believe that. They saw him dying on the cross. They saw him rising from the dead. The demons saw that. What is the big issue there? They didn't follow him. They didn't follow him. And that's what God has been calling for all of us, for all of the time. It's not just say, I believe. It's easy to say that you believe, but are you prepared to follow? Are you prepared to lay down life? Are you prepared to follow his commandments? Are you prepared to, when he says left, you go left? That is what he's called us, for all of us. And when Jesus comes now, this creator of heaven and earth, this person that Carl spoke about in, was it in Philippians or in Colossians 1, if he stands in front of all of us and say, follow me, be my disciple, what will your response be? There's various things we probably can do. Will your response be, yes, I accept you, I raise my hand, I believe you are the Son of God, but you don't follow through by following him. Because that's what he's calling. He's calling you to follow him. Throughout history, he's asked us, follow me. Stay faithful to me. It's a process of faithfulness. That's what he's called us. Or are you going to be the one that's actually going to say, I'm going to count the cost, I'm going to work everything out. You know what? At the end of the day, there's certain things I don't want to give this up. I like those comforts. I appreciate that. But don't touch this area of my life. Leave my finances. Leave my family. I don't want to get there. And then what does he say about that? He says, well, then you're not worthy of me. If you put anything ahead of me, if you made the decision, it's your decision. You're not worthy of me. It's a tough one, eh? It's a tough one. And he's actually asked us, what are you going to do? Or the third one is... He asks you this question. And then you are just awestruck by the mere fact that His mercy and grace towards you and the sheer privilege that He's asked you to follow Him. How could this God, this one is of anything, can come to me and say to me, follow me, be my disciple, obey my commandments, do this thing with me. I'm leading you with the Spirit. The Spirit now lives inside of you. Because without Him, this would have been impossible. So by the way, we wouldn't have been able to do this. But He's giving us His Spirit to follow us. And because of that, I'm willing to count the costs. I'm willing to lay down my life because He's worth it. Are you willing to obey His commandments because you love Him? Are you willing to remain in Him and Him in you so you can bear much fruit? What is the fruit? It actually is by making other disciples. One thing I didn't get to is, one of the things about a mature disciple is he reproduces after his own. Because of what we've done, because of what we see, we go and make disciples. Even Jesus, initially, the ministry started, He made disciples, I'll make you fishermen. When He ended off the Great Commission, He says, now go and make disciples. Baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to remember, obey my commandments. And that's where we get. That is where you get into maturity, where now it's not about me, about my lifestyle, about my favorite preach, my favorite song. It's actually about, I know I've found the word of Christ. He consumes me. Others need to hear. Others need to be discipled. Other people need to follow Him the way I follow Him. That's when you start dying to self. Well, it's not about me anymore. That's why I get up early. We sort out the sound like yuck in the team. It lives, Rihanna with the words, everybody else. Because it's not about me anymore. It's not about my comfort. It's about what I see in Christ. That's what I want to become. What I see in Francois. What I see in Eugene. In everybody. I want to replicate that. I want to follow. I want to imitate these guys as they imitate Christ. And that's our desire. So once you've done that, that's where He wants us to be. So this morning it might be a heavy one, it might be something you know about. For me, it's just good. Even when I prepared to it this week, it's just, God, you've been so clear about it, actually. You don't call us for a decision. It's not that one sort of thing. It's actually you want us to have a relationship with you. And how amazing that He trusts us with that. He wants us to follow Him and be His disciples. So we can go out there. I think we're getting closer to the end. And I think it's important for us. We'll get busy, get serious about what we're doing now, and then tell as many people about Jesus, but the offer it is with our life, a life which is reflecting for what He's done in our lives. So that's what I want to say. For me, I'm not going to ask anybody to maybe what I'd like to do, maybe for us just to stand as a body. I was going to pray for us that we just want to take this seriously. I think as all Christ followers, and if there's people that don't know Jesus, I really want to encourage you to come and speak to me afterwards. I'll introduce you to Him. Great. You need to have Him in your life. But the most important thing about today is not just to know Him, it's to actively follow and pursue Him. And that we would, that God would just approach the Holy Spirit or do something in our hearts, that we will align with this, that Christ want to put you first. We want to put you where you deserve. You're on the throne. You need to be there in my life. That nothing in my life is more important. We sang about it. Nothing is more important than you. There's nothing more important than Him. That will not just be a song that we sing, but that's a life that we will lead because of what is done in and through us. Okay, so pray for us. So Jesus, we just thank you for never giving up on us. And Father, that you've always chosen us, you've always called us to follow you. Because you just know better. You just know better. And often we think we do, but we don't. So today we want to declare that you are God and we not. We want to put you on the throne. We want to lift up you for who you are. And I would pray that all of us, as Christ follows, as people that has chosen to believe and to follow, would you be with us every step of this way? Because it is a daunting task. It is something huge.
but your spirit inside of us helps us to follow you. And we want to follow you with our life. I pray that areas in our lives that we might not have fully submitted to your rule and reign, that we will do this. That we will lay that down at your feet. And we'll ask you that we declare that you're the God of our salvation. You're the one we want to serve with our life. Help us to love nothing more than you. And if we have, we want to repent this morning that we've done it. And we will, like the people of everybody, run back to you and say, God, won't you save us? Won't you restore us? Won't you bring us back to that place of restoration where we can have relationship? You've done it through your Son, because you've done it years ago. But even this morning when there was a sense of people through condemnation, this is not condemnation, this is where he wants to be. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you're the one that convicts of righteousness, sin, and judgment to come. You will do your work. But we thank you that we are secure in you and that you've got plans for our life. And you want to have relationship with all of us. That is your heart. So much so that you send your Son to just come show those guys again that I love him. Thank you, Lord, that you love us so much that you won't give up on us. You won't give up on us. I pray that you will sustain us and we'll walk in step with you, faithfully following your lead. You're the champion. You're the author. You're the perfecter of our faith. We love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.